This is Pastor Sam, and I'm so excited that you're taking the time to listen to this week's sermon podcast. I hope it blesses your life. If you're a part of our Lighthouse Church family, we would love to connect with you via our social media at GoToLighthouse or online at GoToLighthouse.org. We want to get you plugged into a connect group or on our dream team so you can do life together with people who love God and who want the best for your life. Please stay tuned for some announcements at the end of this podcast. And now, here's this week's message. So God is. We begin with God is. Who is God? And obviously, all of us can define God in ways that are personal to us, ways in which God has shown up in our lives. But beyond the things that we can see clearly, I want us to get into some of the attributes of God, if I could, that might help us understand who God really is. And I'll begin with probably the most important attribute, the most foundational understanding of who God is. And I'll simply say it this way: God is one. Everybody say, God is one. The oneness of God is foundational to the understanding of the God of the Bible. Matter of fact, if you go back to God's initial relationship with the people of Israel, which again, God selected to be the people through which he would be make himself known to the world. And he selects Abraham as the beginning of this race, as the beginning of this people that would be called by his name. And as God begins this relationship with Abraham and then with Isaac and then with Jacob and then with the 12 tribes of Israel, as God begins to reveal more of himself through this nation that he created, he gives to them what even to today is described as the most important attribute of God, the attribute by which the Jewish faith is established, and the attribute through which Christianity eventually comes to be. And this is a concept that God is one. The Lord told the children of Israel this way. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So in Jewish faith, this is the Shema. This is the foundational aspect of their understanding of God. And what made this important as the most important attribute to God, the most important attribute of God, is that up until that time, there was no mention, there was no concept of a unified one God. Up until then, now mind you, interestingly enough, every civilization that has ever been studied from the beginning of time shares this one thing in common, that is every civilization, different as they were, how they dressed, how what they ate, how they, their social structure and their hierarchy of power, all that aside, the most important characteristic of every civilization in the history of mankind is that every civilization worshipped something. The Bible says that God placed eternity in the heart of man. God put in, so when God, picture God at a lab, like wiring us. He put a little chip in us that makes us consider there's got to be something bigger. There's got to be something greater. It can't just be us. We didn't just show up. Something out there, something bigger than us exists, right? So the concept of God was implanted in us, if you would. But God does not reveal himself and does not describe himself until he has a people, which were the people of Israel, through which he begins to tell them who he is. Now, up until that time, every religion that existed, now mind you, the Jewish faith was not the first religion or the first belief system in something greater. There were already many concepts out there that existed. What made this different, what made this unique, is this concept of monotheism versus polytheism. So mono means one, theism means God. So one God, the concept of one God, the children of Israel were the only ones in the whole known world that believed solely in one God. That was unique. That was novel. Everybody else had many gods, and they almost had a God for everything. And so when the Jewish people come up through the understanding of God's word and reveals to them, hey, I'm only one. And besides me, there is no other. Everybody else, like, A, you're crazy. Or B, they feel sorry for them. Oh, you only got one? Like, we got a bunch of gods. We got all kinds of gods. We got like a whole stadium full of gods. You only got one? Oh. It was unique. It was novel. Nobody else had ever understood, had the revelation, had the insight that God was just one. And so as they began to establish themselves in that belief, Deuteronomy 6:4 became the foundation of their belief system. Their foundation, their understanding of God, their concept of God, everything they knew, everything they understood, and everything that God was about to reveal to them about himself stems from this one fact: the Lord is one. And because he's only one, he is the supreme source for everything. Because he doesn't have to consult with others, because he doesn't have to share with others, because he doesn't have to come into agreement with others, because he doesn't have to form a consensus with others, because he doesn't have to argue with others. He's it. This God is the source of everything. Now, not only is that emphasized in Deuteronomy 6:4, that's the foundation of God reiterating over and over to his people, I am one, I am indivisible, I am one God. As a matter of fact, if you go to Isaiah 43, he emphatically says it this way: understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been, and there never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior, period. What part of that do we not understand? What part of that is ambiguous? What part of that is not clear? What part of that is open to interpretation? What part of that do we not notice this? Understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There never has been. There never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior, period. Anybody see the emphasis there? Just in case we missed it. Just in case you were multitasking. Just in case you were checking scores and looking into how the Padres are going to win the World Series and what the roster is and all that. Just in case you missed it, Isaiah 43, 10 and 11 makes it very clear. And one of the reasons I believe God makes it very clear is because this really matters to God. This is important to God that we understand. Now, because God is one, and I would say the only one, he is the only source of truth, he is the only source of morality, he is the only source of power. Over time, many folks have tried to grab pieces of this and take credit for some of this. And this is part of God emphasizing, if I am the only one and there is no other besides me, then I am the authority and the source for that which is true, for that which is good. I'm the source of every good thing. I'm the fountain from which everything else flows. It starts with me and ends with me. That's an important thing for us to understand. Now, that's the essence of the understanding of the oneness of God, that he is one. It starts there. Over the next few weeks, we'll get more into that and how God revealed himself through Jesus and all of that. We'll get the next few weeks, we're going to get deeper into all of this. But today what I want to focus on is because, you know, it dawned on me. A lot of people go to church. A lot of people consider themselves Christians. Not many of us take the time to really understand who God is, what God is all about, what makes God God. So I want to just cover a few attributes of God that are God and God alone. There's some attributes of God that can be transferred. There's some attributes of God that we can learn. There's some attributes that we can try to copy and mimic. Like, for example, God is love. Amen? Is God love? Yes. Can we try to be more loving? Yes. God is holy. Can we try to be more holy? Yes. God is almighty. Can you be almighty? You get the difference? There's some attributes of God that we can try to learn and be more like him. There are some things about God, it's just God. That's like in its own category of things. Amen? I want to talk about those today. We'll talk about the other ones in the next few weeks. But today, I want us to understand what makes God unique and what makes God God. Number one, I'm going to give you several of these. Number one, I'm going to go quick, so listen fast. Number one, God is a spirit. Amen? God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. From the beginning of time to today, God is a spirit, which makes it very important to know something about God's being a spirit. He can be everywhere and all at the same time, because he's a spirit. He's not confined to a place. Angels are confined to a place. Even the devil is confined to a place and time. God is outside of all of that. All right? God is a spirit. The only time we actually got to see God was when he manifested himself in the flesh through Jesus. Other than that, God's a spirit. Okay? So God is a spiritual being, which makes him portable and allows him to fill the whole. How else can you fill the whole earth? When the Bible says the whole earth is filled with your presence, how do you do that if you're in one place at one time? But if you're everywhere all at once, then the whole thing is filled with your presence. So God is a spirit. Amen? That's one. Number two. Now, no matter if, that's why God says you have to be born of the spirit too. That's how we start connecting with God. All right? More to come in the next few weeks. Now, that's one. Number two. This is another attribute that's God's and God's alone. Now, some of us might want to take credit for this. And you know who you are when I tell you right now that God is omniscient. All the teenagers say amen. Mm-hmm. This means he knows everything. All the know-it-alls, you know who you are. You don't know it all. God is the only one that knows it all. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 3. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. God knows everything. Let me say that again. God knows everything. Everything. Now, let me help you with confession. A lot of us have a hard time confessing our sins to God because it's hard, right? Let me help you with that. Can I help you with that? Whenever you confess your sins to God, let's assume you do that today. Why not? Whenever you pray to God and you confess something, on the other side, God's never like, what? You did what? You said what? Like, I turn around for 1 minute and you do that? No, let me help you out. Anytime you confess something to God, he already knew. He was just waiting for you to own up to it. So you're not shocking God. Oh my God, he's gonna be so mad. He was mad when he saw you do it. You confessing actually makes him feel a little better. You actually have some self-awareness. You understand that was messed up. So God knows everything. The things you haven't confessed about, he's just waiting. He knows. So God knows everything. That's uniquely a God attribute. No one else can claim this but God. Amen? I said this before, let me get even deeper into this. God is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere all at once. Psalms 139, 7 and 8. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I go to the deepest part of the ocean, you're there. I cannot hide from your presence. You're everywhere. God is omnipresent. That means that wherever you're at, he's right by. I feel so lonely right now. No, God's right there. Oh my God, no one's with me. No, God's there. You don't know. He knows. Do you understand who God is? He is omnipresent. He's the God of the mountains. He's the God of the valleys. He's a God in your good times. He's still God in your low times. God is everywhere all at once. God is omnipotent. He's got all the power. And I heard, I said, where? The voice of a great multitude. I said, sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. God has all the power. There's nothing he cannot do. There's nothing impossible to God. He's got the power and the authority. In other words, he is sovereign, which means he doesn't need consensus and no one can veto him. All the power, all by himself. He's got all the power. So begin to think about how we connect with God. When we need something from God, this is what God provides. Not only that, God is eternal. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He has no beginning. He has no end. Amen? He was there when there was nothing. It was just God. He was there at the beginning. There is no end to God. I know, right? Light bulbs, like, what? I know. How do we understand that? How do we even begin to comprehend that? I know, look, I thank God for Marvel movies. Because they start talking about the multiverse and all that. I'm like, wow. Like, they lost me with the whole multiverse thing. Just like, stay here. Like, there's enough stuff going on in this world. Why don't we go to somewhere else, right? Just stay right here. Like, three Spider-Mans? Really? Come on, I don't get it. You're messing with me. I don't get it. It's a little too much. Like, I don't get it. That's light bulb me. Now, God says from everlasting to everlasting, I'm God. I wish I could explain to you, but I wasn't there. This is where it takes faith. And this is where it takes just saying, you know what, God? There's a lot I don't know. All the older folks say amen. You know how you get older, you realize how little you know? You thought you knew it all. Something happened after 21. Because 21 is like your peak of know-it-all. Remember that? Remember that? Like, you knew it all. Your parents were dumb. Your teachers were dumb. Your boss was dumb. Everybody was dumb. Coaches were dumb. In your teenage years, like, you know everything. You're like, that's like your omniscient sage. You know it all. And then you get older, you begin to get a little more humble and say, wow, I don't know a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things that just blow my mind. Trying to understand this is hard. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Just when you think that's a great attribute, this is an attribute a lot of people would want to have, particularly women. I don't know why. God is immutable. God doesn't change. You imagine? No creams, no lotions, no injections. Just doesn't change. And I love how God says it, right? Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, comma, and I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. The arm of the Lord has not shortened. He's still the same one. Isn't it good that God doesn't change? Like, he loved you yesterday. He loves you today. He'll love you tomorrow. He loved you before you messed up. He loved you while you were messing up. He loves you after the mess up. God doesn't change. I give praise to God that he is immutable. He's the same. I can count on God. And that's why in a world of turbulent change, it's good to be anchored to someone that doesn't change. Everything changes in the world. Everything seems to be changing around us. Even the different basic definitions are changing around us. And I'm sorry, I'm not even getting into that. I'm just telling you. If I need to explain to you my pronoun, there's just a lot of change. Like, that shouldn't change. Ta-da! Yet, in a world of rapid, constant, sometimes mind-boggling, confusing change, it's good to know that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is consistent in who he is and how he thinks of us. So think about just these things. Immutable, eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, spirit. These are things that are uniquely God. That's God. So what should our proper response be to that kind of God? How do we respond to the fact that we have access to that God? And even more importantly, that God wants to have a relationship with us. Like, how do we react to that? How should we live our lives in response to that? If we grasp who he is, what is our response to that? Well, in case we had missed it, because it's so easy to downplay God. It's so easy to almost lower God to our level that when you re-elevate God to his proper place, and when you understand the gap between God and you, it's not this, because sometimes, you know, we can feel, oh, you know, just me and God, you know, close, we're tight. No. That gap between the light bulb, it's a big gap. The fact that, you know, like when you meet somebody famous, raise your hand if you've ever met somebody famous. Ooh, that'd be fun, just to ask. I'm curious, right? Like, who have you met that's, Okay, if you're really proud of who you met, just shout it out, the count of three. One, two, three. Maybe they were just famous to you. But you know when you meet somebody famous? How many of you get a little shy, a little intimidated, right? You mean like an athlete or a movie star or like a business person or like a business, you're like, wow. You like shrink, right? They just look like so like, wow. And that's this light bulb meeting that light bulb. And we get the sense of like, wow. Like for me, okay, this is just me. I met Michael Jordan, 1996 NBA Finals. I was at the United Center, and I had a press pass because a friend of mine worked for NBC. Thank God for friends. And I'm in the tunnel as the players are coming out to be introduced, in the tunnel. And they're all running by, and Michael, and I pat him on the back. I mean, we're close. I haven't washed my hands since.
I mean, Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player ever.
If you don't agree with me, you have every right to be wrong. I remember meeting him, just tall and athletic, just amazing, just quite the human being. And I was like, whoa. Like, I had to, like steady myself. Like, wow, I just touched greatness. And this is me, this light bulb, meeting that light bulb, say, wow. We do that with celebrities and athletes and what have you. This God I'm trying to explain to us? No. No. I mean, we are in awe, right? When you meet someone really famous, you're like, whoa. Do you understand the privilege, the amazing privilege we have to be in the presence of true greatness, God? And that Michael Jordan doesn't know me. Like, I know him really well. He doesn't know me. He has no idea who I am. But can you imagine? He would like, hey, Sam, how's it going, buddy? Come here, bring it in, big fella. What would you say? Whoa. Yet this God, every Sunday, comes here. Wraps his arms around us and lets us know we're loved. Lets us know that he wants a relationship with us. This powerful, amazing God, the creator of the universe, the God of all things, wants to have a relationship with us. Like, he wants to, like, I like you all, but I could not live with all of you. You're laughing because you're the same. Like, Pastor Sam, Sunday morning, 45 minutes. I can handle you for 45 minutes. Me every day in your house? Like, me hanging out in your crib, in your food? You'd be like, no, that's a little too much, Pastor. Back away, back away. God says, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be with me. Like, I want to be eternally with you. I mean, if Michael Jordan invited me to his house for lunch, even today, I'd be like, oh, my God. God wants to live eternally with us. The creator, the God of the universe, that God thinks highly of us to the degree that he would want to fellowship with us. Come on. What so if God is all these things, what should our reaction be to that? And I'll close with this. Matter of fact, God kind of explained it right away. And I love how these verses just come together, because it reminds us of this concept. Let me go back to Deuteronomy 6:4, the foundation of this concept that God is one. Because now, just in light of the last 20 minutes, beginning to understand a little bit about the essence in these unique godly attributes of God. Now, this makes more sense this way. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Right? We read that. So number one, hear, understand, grasp, and then know. Hear and know that the Lord is one. Now, if you really hear that, and if you really understand that, what should our reaction be to that? That's verse 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What should our response be if you understand that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And with all your strength. If you really hear, and if you really know who this God is, then the only proper response is one of love, one of appreciation, one of understanding the amazing privilege and honor that God would give people like you and me to have access to Him. You notice how all famous celebrities always have security around them? Even the ones that don't believe in the Second Amendment, they always have security around them. Here is God saying, there's a fence, you can wave at me from the other side. No, what does God say? Come to me. I mean, these silly light bulbs surround themselves so they won't be touched, so they won't be known, so they won't be bothered. Here is God, the creator of all things, saying, come to me. Come to me. Matter of fact, if you're tired, if you're heavy laden, if you're hurting, come to me. That makes celebrities look silly, doesn't it? They're so cool, they don't want to be touched, they don't want to be bothered. God says, come to me. Come on. I want you to come. Matter of fact, I'm inviting you to come. The only proper response when we understand who God truly is with a heart of appreciation and gratitude to simply get close to Him and love Him. Amen? So as we all stand to our feet, that's what I want us to invite us to do this morning. This amazing God, this unmatchable God, this one and only God, invites us to a relationship with Him. This one God invites us to draw closer. This one God invites us to experience a relationship with Him. What a privilege we have, amen, church? That this God, this amazing God, would welcome us and would love us. So as a sign of love, would you lift your hands towards heaven? Let's pray together as we dismiss. Jesus, we thank you for the reminder of who you are, the things that make you uniquely God. Thank you for the reminder that there is none like you. There never has been, there never will be. You alone are God. And the fact that you would be interested in people like us, that's just unbelievable. That's just amazing. So God, our only proper response is to love you for being so different from those that claim to be powerful, for being the complete opposite of those who claim to be famous. God, the fact that you welcome us, the fact that you invite us, the fact that you draw us in, the fact that you want to have a relationship with us, that's beyond our ability to comprehend. So we just thank you, God, and today that the only proper response is to love you back, to say thank you, to love you for your humility, to love you for your love, to love you for your time and attention, to love you for creating us, to love you for providing for us, to love you for all the things that you've done to make our life possible. So God, I pray today that all of us here today would leave this place with a desire to love you more, to appreciate you more, to understand how blessed we are, how incredibly blessed we are to have access to someone like you, God. It's amazing. So we pray your blessing upon us here today, God. Help us to love you every day, to learn more about you, to draw closer to you. Thank you for our time together. Bless us the rest of this week till we come together again. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, this is Pastor Sam again. If this message blessed your life, I want to encourage you to please share it with someone else. Also, please visit our website at gotolighthouse.org and consider making a donation to support our ministry so that we can continue bringing you content just like today's message. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.